Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for being the God who loves us so much that you don't leave us in the dark, that out of your compassion you speak, that we might hear, believe and follow. And so we pray, please, by your Spirit, help us now to hear and receive these words that we read. And be with Rob, your servant, as he opens Psalm 23 for our good. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first reading is from Psalm 23 and can be found on page 473 in your pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, good morning. Today we're reading John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. You can find that on page 922 of the Pew Bibles. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We'll be in Psalm 23 this morning if you'd like to turn back there. I must say, one big difference with kids' ministry is yesterday I spent a lot of time with puppets. And I thought maybe I shouldn't bring one this morning, but maybe I should have. Anyway, I recently spent some time visiting with an old friend in his final days. He's not my granddad, but having known him for more than half my life, he might as well have been. And for the last 3 or 4 years, he's been quite unwell. And the last time I saw him at home, the hospital team had said there was nothing more that they could do for him. And as we chatted, in an honest moment, he admitted that he was afraid of dying, afraid of the pain, said to leave the world behind, his family and his friends behind. And I reckon I would be too. Now, although he'd been to church many times, I actually wasn't sure that he was a Christian. So I guess to try and start a conversation again, I asked him, "Tell me, do you reckon I'll see you again in heaven?" And his answer to me was, "I'm not sure." He didn't know. He couldn't be confident. Now, if you've heard Psalm 23 read before, it may have been at a funeral. I read the psalm at that man's funeral about 8 weeks ago. This psalm talks about life and it talks about death, but I think it talks about it in quite a surprising way. King David's the writer, and he seems to have this confidence that my friend didn't have. It seems like David faces life with this peace and security rather than the anxieties that we often battle. He even speaks about dark times, or you might have remembered it in the Bible translation that says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." But he speaks about that with a hope and a confidence rather than fear. Now my question is, why is that? What does David know that we don't know? Well, I reckon David would put it this way: it's not what I know, it's who I know. The Lord, the God of Israel that I serve, he makes me think about my life, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, even death itself. He makes me think about that differently. So here's how I would sum up our psalm. This is what I think David's teaching us. The Lord provides for, protects and blesses his people now and forever. The Lord will provide for, protect and bless his people now and forever. Now, is this the reason that David seems to be confident here? Let's take a look at the psalm. Now, the psalm sets out for us three pictures, if you like, three word pictures, three images for us to understand how David feels about God. The first picture is there in verses 1 to 3. David wants us to imagine a flock of sheep. They're dusty, they're dirty from another hot day in the sun. Now, these sheep don't live on a farm, as we would expect now. They live wherever the shepherd leads them. It's his job to wander up and down the hills and over hot and dusty plains, looking for food and water for his sheep. But in this picture, did you notice these sheep are resting? They're resting in a patch of long grass, lying beside a small, cool stream of water. And watching over them, sitting just over there under the tree, is their shepherd. This is the man who's walked with them day after day to help them find just this perfect spot. And as you imagine this hardworking shepherd and this happy flock of sheep, listen to what David tells us about this picture. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." When David wants to tell us how he feels about God, the best picture that he can think of is the picture of a shepherd. Now, I don't know when David wrote the psalm. Maybe he wrote the psalm while he was still a shepherd. Maybe he knew how hard he had to work to care for his sheep. And so that reminded him of God's love and care and how much it costs God to care for him. Or maybe David wrote the psalm when he was no longer a shepherd, but now he's the king of all Israel. He has the highest throne, the greatest power over all of God's people, but as powerful and as important as David became as this great king, he never forgot that every good thing he had came from the Lord who was his shepherd. Let me ask you, did you wake up in a warm bed this morning? Do you have a roof over your head as you sleep tonight? Will there be lunch after church? Do you have family or friends that you can catch up with this week? All of these good things we have are given to us by a God who cares. by a shepherd who provides. It's a great picture, isn't it? Sheep lying down in cool green pastures, plenty to eat. They're lying down beside quiet waters. They've got plenty to drink. Now, I am a certified townie, so I don't know too much about sheep. So I'm not going to push this too far. But let me give you my one factoid. Okay, this will be fun. I was staying at my parents-in-law, their house, not so long ago, and they are townies also. But they have a bit of a hobby farm with some sheep on it. And it struck me with these sheep that they love to lie in the long green grass, but their paddock is right beside the driveway that you come up and down the house to. And they for some reason, they love to lie in the long grass right beside the fence. And they'll just lay down happily all day until a car or someone goes up and down the driveway. And then what do? Jump up on their feet and they run for it. David says here that the Lord makes him lie down in green pastures. When do sheep lie down? When they feel completely safe, completely cared for, not at all under threat. It's a picture of confidence and trust in the God who provides and the God who cares. And I think there's some clues in this verse that these verses aren't just saying God gives us all of our food and all of our drink, although that's the picture here. Because David says, did you notice in verse 3, the Lord refreshes my soul, he guides me along the right paths. Or in some Bibles it says he leads me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord generously gives us all we need for life and godliness. Everything we have comes from the Lord. Everything we need, we can ask him for it. He even shows us the right way to go. He leads us on the best path to live in this life, in this world. And why does he do all this for the flock? Well, verse 3 ends by saying he does it for his namesake. Or you could say for his reputation. If people want to know what God is like, David says, well, look at how he treats his people. Look at how he deals with Israel. Look at how he deals with his king. That is his reputation. He is the Lord who is the rescuer who brought them up out of slavery in Egypt. He's the provider who cared for them as they wandered around in the wilderness those 40 years. He's the promise keeper who brought them into a good land so that they could call it their own. God's name and his reputation as a shepherd is tied up with how well he cares for his people. So what do we learn from this first picture? I'd summarize it this way. Just as a good shepherd provides for his sheep, the Lord provides good things for his people. Just as a good shepherd provides for his sheep, the Lord provides good things for his people. God knows what we need. God has made it his job and his responsibility to care for his people and to give them what is good. And he stakes his reputation on it. Well, let's think about a second picture here that David gives us, the next scene. We have the same shepherd, we have the same sheep, but now we have to move. We are not at the green pastures and the quiet waters anymore. Now we find ourselves between two very steep hills. And there's a path between them. It's in a valley. It's very narrow, very rocky. So you have to be very careful where you plant your foot. And the hills either side are so tall that they've blocked out the sun. So without the sun, it's dark and cold. You almost can't see the shepherd, but you know he's there because you can hear his voice. David gives us that scene in just one verse, verse 4, if you have a look at it. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the Bible verse that in some versions, or you might have remembered it, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Some people are afraid of the dark. I think most of us are probably afraid of death. But David says, even in life's darkest moments, he doesn't need to fear. Why? For you, Lord, are with me. Because the Lord is at his side. Now, if you've read much about David's life or you heard the stories perhaps growing up, you'll know here's a guy who faced plenty of dark times. In fact, he's had more than one near-death experience that we know of in the Bible. He was chased by King Saul before him. He was hunted by his enemies from the surrounding nations. Even his own son wanted to kill him and take his life. See, David's realistic, and I think the Bible is realistic. Even if the Lord is our shepherd, even if we belong to God and we're part of his flock, that's no guarantee that this life in this world will be easy. Christian people face dark times just like anybody else. My wife recently tuned into a live stream on the computer of a funeral for a lovely Christian woman. She was a pastor's wife. She's exactly the same age as my wife. We both got to know her about 25 years ago when we were still dating, actually. And for the last 5 or 6 years, she's been battling bowel cancer. And this mother of 3 young children, some months ago, finally lost the war. And you could say she's been living the last few years in a dark valley, in the valley of the shadow of death. Christian people face dark times just like anybody else. Even famous godly leaders and prophets and kings and psalm writers know what it's like to live in a sad and difficult world. But they can also know what it means to face every challenge and every disappointment and every tragedy with the Lord right beside them. And you notice he says that the Lord's rod and his staff bring David comfort. The shepherd's rod would be the instrument they'd use to defend the sheep from their enemies. The staff, I think, protect you from your own wandering, your own stupid decisions. The rod is a reminder, you see, that the Lord will ultimately rescue his people from everything evil and wrong and sad and bad in this world. He will beat them all away one day. And the staff is a reminder that the Lord will finally rescue us even from our own wandering, our own failure, our own weakness, our own selfishness, our own stupidity. Sheep need to be led and corrected when they wander by the shepherd's staff, and God will lead us. David says God will correct us. He will guide us on the right paths. Now, we're going to think about more of that in a minute, but to summarize that for now, the second picture, how would I sum that up? Just as the shepherd protects his sheep, the Lord protects his people through every trial. Just as the shepherd protects his sheep, the Lord protects his people through every trial. Some people are scared of the dark, but darkness is scared of the Lord. Most of us are afraid of death, but death is afraid of the Lord. Now, I want you to imagine with David here, one last scene. This is a very different one he gives us, different picture. He asks us to imagine a house. Now, it's not David's house. David is a guest in this house. Now, in those days, hospitality was very important. Get this, even if you met a complete stranger in the middle of town, you would probably invite them back to your place and offer them a place to stay. There you go, there's one. As long as they were peaceful, not an enemy, you'd have them back to your home. You would feed them. You'd give them a place to stay. If you really wanted to show them honour, you would anoint their head with oil. Now, of course, because they're your guest, you need to look out for them. Your home needs to be a place of safety for them, safe from the dodgy characters outside and from anyone who would want to do them harm. Now, I want you to imagine this. David is a guest in someone's home. He's sitting at the table. He's about to eat this great feast that they've prepared for him. But here's the question. Who else is in this house? Or whose house is this? Have a look at verse 5. You, he's speaking to the Lord still, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, what gets me when I imagine the scene is that the Lord is showing honour to David. the Lord is anointing David's head with oil, preparing David a feast and keeping him safe from his enemies forever. How kind it is of God that he should be served by us, not the other way around. Let me ask you, does that remind you of anyone who came into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life? See, David knew what it was to run away from people who wanted to harm him. He knew what it was to be cold and homeless and hungry and tired because he was on the run. His life was in danger. You might remember even a point where he had to eat bread from the temple because David and his fighting men were starving. But now he pictures himself sitting at this table with a great feast in front of him, welcomed by God, blessed by God's kindness, safe to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as I said, hospitality back then was a big thing. You would invite a stranger for a night, maybe two. How long does David get to stay in the Lord's house? Forever. See what it says in verse 6? Because God has been a shepherd to David, because the Lord has provided for what David needs, because the Lord has protected him with his rod and staff, David is now confident about the future. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This last picture in the house, feasting with the Lord, teaches us this. Just as a generous host blesses his guests, the Lord generously blesses his people forever. Just as a generous host blesses his guests, the Lord generously blesses his people forever. It's quite a lot packed into six little verses, isn't it? And David's written us a song here that still speaks for us today of a God who provides and protects and blesses his people now and forever. But as I read this, I want to finish up by asking two questions with you of the psalm. Two questions that I think about as I read through. And here's the first one. How might Jesus have read this psalm? Sometimes we can forget that Jesus knew the psalm. It was part of his scriptures that he read when he lived here on earth, when he visited the synagogue each week or he travelled to those big festivals in Jerusalem. Jesus would have said and perhaps sung the words of Psalm 23. And perhaps Jesus can relate to the psalm better than any of us, because after all, Jesus is, like David, a king over God's people. So if this is a song first and foremost about how God cares for his king, maybe actually there's no one better to sing the psalm than Jesus. So yeah, Jesus could say that God, his heavenly Father, was his shepherd. Through all the days of his life here on earth, God gave Jesus everything he needed for life. We even read in the Gospels, don't we, that Jesus would give thanks to God before he ate food, knowing where and from whom it came. Because God is the source of every good thing we receive. I think you see it in Jesus' praying life in the Gospels, the hours, sometimes the whole nights that he would spend in prayer. I think we see that Jesus would rely on God to refresh his soul, to lead and to guide. Even as you think about his crucifixion, we see the saving plan of God the Father leading Christ through the darkest valley, even to the point of death on a cross. But we read in Hebrews, don't we, that the God of peace raised him up to life again. So Jesus can truly sing to his heavenly Father, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And now the Bible looks forward to a feast. And the guest of honour there is going to be Jesus. Revelation tells us about the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's the wedding supper of Jesus. It says this, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding feast of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.'" Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These words are true.'" Jesus could really sing, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." One day, even Jesus' enemies will have to bow the knee and admit that Jesus really is Lord to the praise of God the Father. Here's something you might like to do this afternoon even. Have another read through Psalm 23 and imagine Jesus saying or singing these words. How would he have read it? What might it have meant to him? But here's the second question and the last question I want to ask with you of our psalm. How do we read this now as followers of Jesus, the Good Shepherd? See, because we've heard it, haven't we, already today. Jesus talked about a shepherd. In the book of John, Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd." God was now going to provide for his people. He was going to refresh them, protect them, bless them, just like the psalm says. But he was going to do it through the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. So I think another way that we can read the psalm is to think, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That same Lord who fed 5,000 men and also women and children with just 5 small loaves and 2 fish, he is able to care for me and you. The same Lord who offered the Samaritan woman living water that never runs out is able to care for me. The same Lord Jesus who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He's able to refresh your soul. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. The same Lord Jesus who said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That same Jesus is able to walk with you through the darkest valley. The same Jesus who has died and been raised to life again is able to bring you safely through the valley of the shadow of death, because he's already been there and he already knows. The Lord is my shepherd. That same Jesus who told his followers that he was going to prepare a place for them, that same Jesus who invites ordinary people like you and me to his banquet, who washes us clean by his blood so that we can enter as his friends, he is able to make you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, I think Psalm 23 takes on new meaning for us now that God has sent Jesus to be our good shepherd. So in life, yep, but even in death for the Christian, for all who belong to Jesus' flock, who follow him and truly know the Lord, we can know real comfort because he's with us. The Lord provides for, protects, and blesses his people now and forever. And the Lord Jesus will provide for, protect, and bless his people now and forever. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these 6 short verses in Psalm 23 that tell us of your goodness and love. And we thank you that in your kindness, and because you're so wise, these words also point us forward to the Lord Jesus, to look forward to his coming, to understand better who he is and what he can do for his people. They encourage us, your people, in life, even in dark valleys, even through death, that you are the God who will provide for, protect, and bless your people. We know this is true because we've seen Jesus. So we thank you for these words, and we thank you for the one they point us to. And we pray in his name. Amen.